Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Ches, and we're holding on the Mishnah daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we learned that a tzara, which is a woman who's married to the same husband as the woman that is now wants to remarry, believing that her husband is dead, is not believed to testify that the husband indeed died. Now, our Mishnah wants to add to this halacha, and it's not simply a question that she is not believed to say that the husband died in terms of getting her married. But even if she is going to be me'ida, that the husband didn't die, she also is not believed at all. She's not believed to answer her either if somebody else is married to her. And therefore, come to the Mishnah to say, if you have two women, are married to this one guy, and they're tzarot, they both come from Medinat Hayam after going away with their husband. One of them says the husband died, and the other one said he didn't die. So there's also a merit mate, you know, safety talk to Hata. The one who says that he died, we already saw earlier, on Kufta Zayin, that a woman is believed on her own to say that her husband died. And so she who says that her husband died can go ahead and get married despite the fact that her tzara says that he didn't die. We completely ignore the testimony of the tzara, even to Asura. Mizorsha married Lomate, the tzara who's claiming that the husband didn't die, obviously Dotina said cannot get married. The Loti talk to her, and cannot take her to that either. First of all, she herself is made that he didn't die, and therefore, even if we would have believed the other woman, who we don't because she's the tzara to this one, but even if we would have believed her, a person can answer themselves by saying, I believe he's not dead, and therefore she can't get married. Achato merit mit, achato merit neherak. How about if they contradict each other? They both agree that he's dead. One says that he died, one said that he was murdered. Now, in either event, they should be matir themselves. Nonetheless, Rabbi Meir omer hola makrishot zozare lo yinasu. Since one of them is clearly lying, because either he died or he was killed, so then we cannot accept the testimony because of the hakrasha, and therefore we should not believe either of them as proper witnesses. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Ho, Vizo, Vizo, Modot, She'in, Kayam, since both women are Moda, that the husband is dead, Yinasu, let them both get married, because each one is believed to say that, on her own, that her husband was killed, and they're both saying that, that the husband is dead, and they're both saying that the husband is no longer around. As to why it's not a hakhasha, Rishonim will say that this is also the reason. Since each is moda to the Iker testimony being that he's not Kayam, the questions of the detail of whether we view his death as an accident or as natural or as murder is unimportant to the Gufaytot. Now, Achat Edomer mate, if we have a witness on the other, saying that the Baal died, V'edachadomer lo mate, and we have another witness, who says that the husband did not die. Or, not a kosher aid, but an isha omerat mate. So a woman says that the husband died, the isha, and another woman says, and this the woman says before, at least according to Rashi, that before we went ahead and we were mad to her, another woman comes along and says, no, he didn't. But enachinami, once we had been mad to her on the basis of the first one, the second one would not be believed to be makrisha. This is how Rashi understands the Gemara on the basis of the Gemara earlier. So before we remind her, another woman comes along, v'omret lomet, arezu lotina. In this case, the woman should not get married on the basis of the yetim because they were mukhashot and through an aid that is of a similar level to them before we remind her to get married. Therefore, it's as if it's a suffix, and even if she was nisa eight, she should be Yotze, at least according to Master Shoni. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, in the opening, that if one of them says made Pali and one of them says Delomate, so the one who says made Tinase, and the one who says Lomate Lo Tinase. Now, the Gemara wants to be Medayik, that this is only because Taim Adamer Lomate. In other words, the Mishnah is referring Dafka to a case where the Tzara said, no, he didn't die. So therefore, she is Asura to get married based on the Edut of the other woman who is her tzara to say mate. But the mashma'ut is strangely that ha'ishtika, if she hadn't said that and she had just been quiet, then she would be allowed to get married because she was not being makrisha, the other woman. The problem is the other woman is a tzara. And I thought we said ha'ein tzara mi'id ala chavrita, didn't we say earlier, that a tzara cannot be a proper witness. So why all of a sudden is the only reason that she can't get married the fact that she said my husband didn't die? Here's the Gemara. The truth is that even if she had been quiet and had not been makrisha, she would not have been believed to get married on the basis of the edus of this woman. But what we're saying is that there's a chiddush in the fact that she says lo meit. Lo meit itzrichale. The Mishnah needed to teach us what the din was when she said lo meit. What is that chiddush? Because we might have thought to say that the truth is that the husband did die, because if he hadn't died, so then it would make much more sense for her to simply not say anything. Since the tzara is coming along claiming that he did die, she will now get married, become asura on her husband, and that, assuming that we don't believe a tzara, is exactly what we would expect her to do. So therefore, what we should assume is the opposite, that actually the husband did die, and the reason that she is saying no, he didn't die, is because she wants to mess up the life of the tzara. So the kalkala, the tzara, he had to come to Chavda. All she wants to do is make it impossible for the tzara to marry just out of sheer bitterness. V'tisher aguna, let her remain now. You know, as an aguna. Now, even though, of course, by saying so, she's messing up her own life, but, as Shoal said when he pulled the house down on himself and the plishtim, what she's thinking to herself is, Tabut tafshim plishtim, kama. She's saying too, listen, I'll pull the house down on myself by saying that he didn't die just so that she should be messed up. Kamash, well, I'm there for it comes to tell me that even so, she's not going to become muteret on the basis of what the Torah says. Even we're over here, we seem to have an indication from her own words that her husband did die. We still don't come along and say this for her to be mad to her. Now, we also said in the Mishnah, Achato married mate, and the other one says Nerag, according to Rabbi Meir, it's Akrasha, and therefore they cannot get married, which means that, according to Rabbi Meir, the Edut of the Tzara is accepted to prevent the other one from getting married. So if that's the case, asks the Gemara, V'lifla Rabbi Meir Beresha. Why then doesn't Rabbi Meir argue also in the first case where one of them says mate and one of them says lo mate? So we said over there that the one who says mate is allowed to get married. But according to Rabbi Meir, why doesn't Rabbi Meir say, look, well, they're basically contradicting each other, and since they're contradicting each other, even the one who says that he did die shouldn't be allowed to get married, since the Tzara said that he didn't die, and that means that we have over here a hakhasha, and according to Rabbi Meir, where we have a hakhasha, even though it's a tzara, we cannot accept the testimony about themselves. So how do you explain that? Omer Rabbi Allah says, of course, he argues in the first case as well. There's no way to distinguish between them. And indeed, b'machloket shnuya, this is really the statement, not of Rabbi Meir, but only of Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimoni. So the Reisha indeed is not going aliba the Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir would certainly have disagreed and would have said that even the one who says that he did mate is asura, because after all, we have a caution to say that he didn't. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, I feel that they were Rabbi Meir. It's not necessary to say that the Mishnah is going only according to Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. It could be going according to Rabbi Meir, who, beha, in this particular situation, where the Tzara says, no, he didn't die, even Rabbi Meir is made, I feel Rabbi Meir made it that she is not believed, to create a hakhasha to aser the other woman. Why is that? Because the whole lo mate be'edut isha lav hakhashahi, it's not considered to be a contradiction when it comes to edut isha to say he didn't die. The hakhasha would be dafka in the case where she agrees that he died, but says that he was murdered. So over there, she's not coming to aser the tzora. She's coming only to be mati herself. It's just that the way that she was mati herself is incidentally a hakhasha to the tzora. So over there, Rabbi Meir holds that she is believed to create doubt in our minds, and that therefore we view them as being contradictory. But if she said that she didn't die at all, we assume that all that is meant is that she wants to mess up the life of the tzora. And therefore, in that case, we don't believe her even to us or the tzora, even Aliva Rabbi Meir. Ask the Gemara against Rabbi Yochanan, it's not. Eid omer mate, ve'eid omer lo mate. Yishol mered mate, yishol mered lo mate. So now the lashon of the Mishnah implies that even though the woman in question is the tzora of the one who said mate, harezu lo tinase. Nonetheless, despite the fact that there's no akhosha here in terms of nerag, there's only akhosha in terms of mate or lo mate, nonetheless it says over here that she cannot get married. Lo tinase. Now, Rabbanah explains it can't be talking about over here just any woman, not the tzora, because then it would be exactly what we had in the previous Mishnah, that a hakhasha was afterwards, lo tetzei mehetera rishon, which is mashma that came at the same time, it would have answered. Therefore, the only chiddush of the Mishnah would be that it's referring to the tzora. So, Bishli, Rabbi Lozer, according to Rabbi Lozer, we could say that this is stam, like Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yochanan argues Rabbi Lozer, and he holds that even Rabbi Meir is made up, that a tzora who says lo mate is not believed to create a hakrasha. So then how do we understand this? Kasha, why should she not be able to get married? Everybody is agreeing that a tzora is not believed to be makrish, whether it's Rabbi Meir or it's Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Kasha, that indeed is a problem, a libra to Rabbi Meir. It seems to say that it seemed like on the surface it's a yuftin. Nonetheless, the Rosh Paskins, like Rabbi Yochanan, that apparently this kasha is not so devastating, because we could, Chozot, explain the Mishnah, talking about a kasha of another woman who is not the tzora. It's not an absolute proof that there is talking over here the case of the tzora. And therefore, we pascha like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Lozer is a talmud of Rabbi Meir. And that means that the machlokas of Rabbi Meir on the one side, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon on the other, in the case of Neharag, over there the halacha would be indeed like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that she's not Nehemenis. So even though, according to Rabbi Lozer, the sefer is like Rabbi Meir, the din would be that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, then the stam mishnah. However, since in this case, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, we no longer have a riot that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. Because according to him, the Seif is not even referring to the Akrasha of a Tzara, just the Akrasha of a woman. Okay, so this would be now a very Nogia La Halacha. Zokra Helika Mishnah. Okay, now we're going to discuss over here the question of the relationship of the woman's belief to vis-a-vis herself in terms of the incidental implications to her tzara. So here we have a case where Nisha Alcha Yiu Ba'ala L'Medinat Hayam. She comes back from Medinat Hayam U'ba'a V'yamra Meit Ba'ali. She says her husband died, so she is believed in a Seviti Tol K'tuvata. She gets married and she takes her k'suva. But the tzara remains asura, since we don't believe her, even vis-a-vis the tzara, despite the fact that we believe her in exactly the same case vis-a-vis herself. Now, Haita Tzara, Bat Yisrael, who is married to a Kohen, and therefore she's been eating Truma, she can continue to eat Truma. Tochal b'Truma, because as far as she's concerned, she doesn't even have to think about the Eidos of her Tzara, and there's no problem, because we don't accept the Eidos of a Tzara to the other. So says Rabbi Tarf. Rabbi Akiva says, now wait a minute. What you're doing over here is basically putting her to a suffix. I mean, how is she going to get out of the chashash of doing an aver when she's eating truma, possibly as a zara? Maybe her husband is dead. The only thing that we can do is, ad shetayasur linasei, and also v'yasur melechol b'truma. We have to now look at it in both ways. We have to be machmer on her to say both that she's not allowed to get married on the one hand, because of the suspicion that her husband is in fact alive, but also that she can't eat truma because of the suspicion that her husband is dead. So even though vis-a-vis the marriage we don't believe the tzara, but the gabi truma we have to be choishesh to what the tzara says, at least l'chumra to be machmir not eat truma. We also have the same machlokas when it comes to the edus of a daughter-in-law. Let's say, amra meti ba'ali v'achar kach met chami, my husband died, and then my father-in-law died. So now what happens is that she can be tinaseviti tol k'tuvata, and so she gets married, but what's interesting is that her mother-in-law is considered to be remaining as her mother-in-law, even though this woman is claiming that her husband died first. So the chamutah is asura, because a daughter-in-law is not believed to tell the mother-in-law that she is indeed muteret. If her mother-in-law was a bat Yisrael, like that bat Yisrael a kohen, she also continues to eat truma as if her husband is alive. She doesn't have to think about her daughter-in-law's words. So says Rabbi Tarfon, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva says, but what about the suffix? You're sure not helping her out very much to save her from Haverot of the year unless she asers. She is asrach te asur lina say on the one hand, because Chamuta cannot rely on the aidas of a daughter-in-law vis-a-vis the marriage, and also to be asur milecho betruma, because at least over there she should worry about the fact that perhaps she's telling the truth, and therefore she should be asura from eating truma too. Now the Gemara explains over here why the Mishnah had to give us these two examples over here of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. V'tzricha, we need both of these cases. Let's say that we would only have said the case in the Edut Tzara and worry over there about the Machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva as to whether she can continue to eat truma. I might have suggested that, but how come Rabbi Tarfon, the reason that Rabbi Tarfon says the Edus of the Tzara that she's allowed to eat truma, doesn't have to worry about what the Tzara says, is Mishum Tzara de Gufa. Because of the fact that there is an actual physical pain, much more intimate kind of pain, that is caused by the Tzara to her Tzara. Because the very fact that there's another wife there means that she does not get the attention and the intimacy with her husband that she would otherwise get received. So she really hates her very profoundly. And therefore, we do have to be choshish that she's going to straight out lie in order to mess up the life of the co-wife that she should go get married. And even though she herself is getting married, we could say that what she's saying is, I'll pull the house down over me just to screw up the life of this Sora. It's worth it. So therefore, she's not believed, even though, even for the simple ossering her in truma, we just don't believe anything she says. Even though it's a chumrah, we say, look, we understand the psychological situation here is that there's no reason to even think about it. But she'enke, when it comes to this case, aval chamuta, when it comes to give testimony about her father-in-law vis-a-vis her mother-in-law, she doesn't really hate her that much. I mean, over there it's tzara mili b'dioma. The only thing that she hates her about is the fact that there are words always between them, and she talks about her and says bad things and so on, but at least she doesn't take her husband away from her. So Ima Modile Rabbi Akiva, perhaps he would be married in this case, Rabbi Tarfon, that we have to worry at least Lachumra and Asr Nachilas Truma. On the other hand, Yitmar Bahaf, that only brought the Machlokas in terms of the din of the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, I would have said, okay, Bahakam Rabbi Akiva. Why did Rabbi Akiva say in that case that the mother-in-law is Asura to eat Truma? Because of the fact that she doesn't have that much of a hatred, so therefore we can't be absolutely certain that she's telling a lie. I mean, she might be telling the truth, so we have to be machmir. Ava b'hach, but perhaps when it comes to the tzara, maybe Rabbi Akiva would be made to Rabbi Tarfon, that over there we should assume that she's vadai being meshakeret, and therefore we shouldn't pay any attention to what she says, even l'chumra, and we shouldn't ask her for eating the truma. Therefore, tzricha, we need the machlokas in both of these cases. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon, in terms of the psak, we paskel like Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that the tzara is muteret when it comes to eating truma. Omar Abaye, says Abaye, well, we could see that very clearly in the next Mishnah, because Afana Nami Tanina, there it's talking about a woman that went with her husband to Medinat Hayam and did not have a son, and therefore she had a chazaka that she would be zekuka liyibum if her husband dies. Now she comes back and she says, I had a son, b'midat hayam, and my son died, and then my husband died. So he told me, Bain b'midat hayam, mei b'ni v'achar kach ba'ali, and therefore I now have my original chazaka that I require yibum. So there she is nehemenet, and she's muteret to the yavam, because she was not made anything that would take her out of the assumptions that we had earlier. And I mean, after all, whatever kshashot we have, all she had to do was just to keep her mouth quiet about having had the kid, and we wouldn't have known anything about it and would have assumed the original chazaka. So even if she said she had one and he died before the husband died, there's no reason for us not to believe her and to say maybe she just fell in love with the yavam or something. So there would be no need for that. But on the other hand, if she said that first Baali died v'achar kach b'ni, and then the son died, which means that I now do not require yibum, and I should be muteret l'shuk immediately, since at the time of the death of the Baal, after all, I had a son, there she's not believed, because we require chalitza. The Chachamim did not believe a woman to say meit ba'ali, unless in that meit ba'ali, she's coming now to be mater herself from the Isser Eishes Ish, and is able to get married to whomever she wants. All this because she's midayeket, she's careful to get married in a way of heter. But that applies to the Eishes Ish issue. If she's coming now to be mater herself so that she doesn't require yibum by claiming that she had a son at the time of the death of her husband, there we have no reason to believe her. We're afraid that she hates the yavam and is lying in order not to get married to him. And that's a completely different issue. But the choshish in the dvara, nonetheless, we have to worry that maybe indeed she's telling the truth, and therefore she cannot actually marry the other. So what we're left is choletzet v'lo mityapenet. Since she's saying that she doesn't require a yibum, we can't force her to marry him, because according to her, she's an eshes ach. So the Gemara is now medayek. The lashon of the Mishnah is that lidvarea u'dechoshish. In other words, what it's saying over here, the Tana seems to be saying, is that we're saying dafka to her words, we worry. And because she said it, we have to worry. Hela divrei tzara, but if the tzara would have said that she had a son and that he died after the husband, we wouldn't have taken her word for it that she should be asura to the yavam. And ein choshishin. That means that when the tzara says something, we pay absolutely no attention to it. And the tzara, therefore, now, that she was testifying about, is allowed even to get yibum, just as she was muhzeket in the first place. And it's also mashba from the language that we are not going to pay any consideration to her, that we're not cheshish, even in a matzav where she says that made ba'ala, and she's muteret b'truma. So shema mina, indeed we see exactly what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. Person gives Kiddushin to one of five women, and he doesn't know which one of them it was. The Kol Achat, and all of them know, each one of them says, yes, indeed, it was me. No thing, get the Kol Achat V'Achat. Now, I mean, this, of course, if he wants to, he can go marry all of them, since they all seem to be highly interested in him. But if he doesn't want them, he's going to have to give a get to every one of them. No thing, get the Kol Achat V'Achat, in order to allow them to get married. And what does he do about the ksuva? Oh, boy. Well, he's meniach ha-ktuva. He puts down the money for the ktuva and says, go to it, b'neim. Right between them with mistake, he better get out of the way fast because they might tear him to bits. So he runs him with ksuva, says, go to it, and run it out. You know, in actual terms, the Gemara of Metziah explains that it doesn't actually mean this, but rather he has to be mavar. You know, he keeps the money until he's mavar, which ones to give it to. But we shall see. So it says Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, that's not going to be good. Is the derech motzi amidei avera? Look, he's got a suffix of gezel over here. He's high of money, and he's got to make sure she gets the money. So achi tein getu k'tuva l'kolachat v'achat. The only thing that he can do to be yotzi, not to be a gazelman, is to make sure that he gives the ksuva, one ksuva, to each one of them. Gozal, echad mechamisha. In the same case where he would have stolen money from a group, one out of five people, and he doesn't know which one from them he stole. V'kol achad omeroti gozal. Every one of them, of course, claims it was his wallet. Miniach gzela b'neim mistalek divrei Rabbi Tarfon. So he leaves the gzela between them and says, go to it, boys. So says Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva says too. How is leaving the money there going to help him deal with the avera that he had of stealing? He has to be meishev esagzela. The only way he can be certain of being meishev esagzela is atshir shalem l'kol echad v'echad. You got to pay every last one of them, whatever it was that was owed. Says the Gemara, kidesh katani, ba'al lo katani. It says over here that the guy went ahead and was mekadesh one of five women. So the mashma'ut is that if he had actually slept with these women, then Rabbi Tarfon would have agreed with Rabbi Akiva, that then he at least owes them, each one of them, a ksuva, because, look, he basically did something by being Mekadosh Rabia to actually hurt this woman in some way. And so he owes her a ksuva in order to be Motzi Atzma Midei Avera. So that's what the Mashmaot is. But in the Sefer, where it's talking about gazal echad mechamisha, it says dafke gazal katani, lokach lo katani. It says that he stole it, which is mashma, that the machlokas is dafke in a case where he did an iser. Over there, Rabbi Akiva holds that since he did an iser, he can't get out of his chiyav until he pays every single one of them. But how about, let's say, he had bought something from someone and didn't pay for it yet? So over there, Rabbi Akiva would be made, he could put the money between the vendors, and he can say, look, boys, you work it out between yourselves. He's not going to have to give every single one of them the money because he didn't do anything wrong. So then, if this is the case, money must nisi. Who then would be the Tana of the way our Mishnah is presented? It's neither the Tana Kama nor Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who argue about the Machlokes and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. The Tana Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, לא נח לכל רבי תפן רבי קיבה שקידש אחת מחמש נשים ואני יודע איזו קידש שמניח כתובה ביניהם ומסתלק. Actually, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, there is no machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in a case where somebody went ahead as Mekadesh, five women, not knowing which one is Mekadesh. There he could certainly just put the ketuvah down and get out of the way and let them fight each other out. Because Rabbi Akiva would be made in that case since he didn't do anything wrong. Where was the case where Rabbi Akiva was failing? Al Shaba'al, he went ahead, it was Mekadesh, Bebia, one of them, and he doesn't know which one it was. So Rabbi Tarfon, Al Zminiach, Tuvabanim, Mistalek, as Rabbi Akiva, Ma'achishalim, Bekol Achad V'achad, since he was over in Avera. So the only way out of this Avera is to go ahead and to pay every one of them the Ketuvah. Al Shaba'al. Since he did something wrong, he has to pay each one of them. And the din of the sefer is, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva were not arguing in a case where somebody bought something from five people and hadn't paid. And he can't remember which one of them he bought it from. That over there, we don't give a guy a knas where he didn't do anything wrong. The only machlokas B was where he stole from five, I can't remember. That over there, Rabbi Omar, Rabbi Tarfon, Minia Gazel ben Emu Stalei, even though he was over in Avera, the Chachomim were not kainasim to him, Mishalim, each one of them. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Emer, since he was over in Avera, there's no way that he can get out of his Chiyav, Achi Yishalim, Gazelala Kalachav Yechai. He'll have to pay back what he stole, each one of them individually. Nidika Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Bekidesh v'lokach lo pligi. And now that we see Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar claiming that there's no machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, in a case where he was Mekadesh, or in a case where he was lokach. So Michlau, the Tanakama suffer, and the Mashmaut is that the Tanakama holds the opposite. That actually they do argue. They argue if he was Mekadesh and he was lokach, in both, he did not do an Avera. And over there, Dafk, Rabbi Tarfon holds that there's no Chiyav to give back. And otherwise, if he had done an Avera, there would have been. So now the mission doesn't make sense. The mission is money. Who's the mission going according to? If it's the Tanakama, who says only if he took it, and then Lokach, not Gazal, that's what they're arguing in. So then it should say that there's two cases over here, Kidei, Shachat Mishtei Nashim, or Lokach. He took miachad mechamisha bnei adam, not that he stole. Because according to the Tana Kama, Rabbi Tarfon is meida in a case where he stole. And if Reb Shimon ben Elazar. If the Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, then it should have said, not Kidesh v'gazal, but Baal v'gazal. But how do you figure a Mishnah that says in the Reisha Kidesh, which according to the Das of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Akiva is made, since he didn't do an Aveira, that he does not have to give the Ksuvah to each one. So the Mishnah is contradictory. As is the Gemara Li'aylam, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and when the Mishnah said, Shekidesh, it meant indeed that he had done an Aveira because he had been Baaler. My Kidesh, Kidesh Babia. It's talking about a case where Tav is talking about the even though he cheapened her by taking, giving her a Kedushin Babia rather than Bekeseh, we don't say, nonetheless, that he has to pay each one of them the Ketuvah. So now, the Gemara is having difficulty with the fact that if the Nereish is talking about that he did something wrong, so then why does the Tana need to be, then bring the Machlokas Rabbi Tav, Rabbi Akiva, by Gezel, and by Bia, if it's the same thing? So Tana Kidesh in the Reisha says Kidesh, meaning the case of Rizu Kadesh Rabia, Lodiacha Kochud Rabbi Akiva, the Afagav the Isura de Rabbonon of it. Tell me that even though the only thing he did wrong was an Isura de Rabbonon, who say not to be Makadesh Rabia, that nonetheless, Konitz Rabbi Akiva gave him a class, he has to give each one of them. And it says in the Seva Gazal, Lodiacha Kochud Rabbi Tarfa, that even though he was over on Isura de Raisa, and he was Gozel, he was over on the Isura de Lotigzol, nonetheless, Lokonis. Even so, we did not give him a knas to force him, according to Rabbi Tarfon, to force him to pay. He could put the gazela between them and get out of the way. Zakter El Kamishna, Isha Shalcha, Hiuva, Lalamidinata, Yamuvna, Imahem. Woman goes overseas with her husband with a child. But she comes back from overseas, Vamran, she says, Made Bali, my husband died, and then my child died. So in other words, what she's saying is that I don't need Yibum, and I'm allowed to marry whomever I wish. And she is there for the Emenet, because since at the time that she left the Medinat Hayam, it was known that she had a son, so she had a chazaka, that she's not someone who is going to fall to Yibum. She is Muteret, therefore Lashuk, so she remains Muteret Lashuk without being Zekuka Liyav. So now, if that's the case, when she says it this way, it boils down to the same things. Even though that she says her son died, she's believed to say that her son died after her husband, because she could have said, he didn't die at all, or she didn't have to relate to it. And Mamela, she would have been with her to marry whoever she wanted. So that's not a problem. But suppose she says, Mate Bani, my son died, and then my husband died. Now, in that case, she's saying that she is a Kukaliyiba. There she's not believed to be mad to herself for Yibum, because since at the time that she went to Meninat Hayam, she had a child and she was a chazaka, therefore, that she was asura to this Yavam forever, even though the Chachamim believe a woman to say, Meit Baali, which is an Isser of Eshes Ish, but to take her out of the chazaka, that she's asura to Yavam, the Chachamim never made this takona to believe her, because after all, there's no problem over here of Igun. What's the issue? That she'll need Chalitza, so she'll get Chalitza. We only made this takana in order to avoid the problem of Agunais, as we've seen many times. So therefore, what we're saying over here is that we will not believe her to contradict her situation that was defined by the Chazaka. Nonetheless, even though we don't believe her to be mad to her, to the Yavam, but at least we are Chayshishim in Vorea. We certainly have to worry that it might be true. And the point over here is, true or not true, she definitely is not allowed to get married because she was Shavinav Shechaticha Disura. She accepted on herself the Isser of marrying Lashuk until she gets Chalitza or Yibam. So we can't allow her to do Yibam, but we have to make sure that she gets Chalitza. And therefore, v'choletzit v'lomit yabemet. Now, all of this is in a situation where we knew beforehand that she has a child, and she had a chazaka that she would not require Yibum if her husband died. But if it was not like that, in other words, what if she went out without a husband when she went to Medinat Hayam? So then she was a chazaka of being a woman who would require Yibum if her husband died. Then the din is the opposite. That over there, if she says, Nitali being Medinat Hayam, I had a child overseas. And she also says, Vamra, Made Beniva Kharkach made Bali, and now I do require Yibum. It's because at the time that my husband died, I didn't have a child. There she is in a minute, and she becomes Muter to the Yavam, because even without her Edus, she was always a Chazaka in a state where she would be zekuka liyavam under conditions where her husband died. And she hasn't changed that. It's a pesha asar pesha yita. She was the one who said she had a son. And she's now the one who says that he died before her husband. But if she says, made bali v'chakach made b'ni, and I muteret l'shuk without yibum or chalitza, since at the time that my husband died, he had a child, there a non-eminence there. She's not believed to pater herself from the chalitza, since at the time that she went out to Medinat Hayam, she had a chazaka that she would be required to go to her yavama, to her yavam, if her husband dies. And therefore, she is not believed to be mafkia this chazaka. Nonetheless, chayshin nedvareha, we certainly have to be machmer on her, and ask her to be mityabim, because she made a chatich disura on herself on the yavam, because according to her, she is asura to the yavam. And therefore, cholet is v'lo mityabim. We can't force her to do something that's asur to her, based on her own chatich disura, and so she gets now the chalitza, and she can't get yiva. Another halacha is that if she goes to midat hayam, with a chazaka that she has no yavam, there's no problem of needing yiva. So then, in that case, she would have been muteret l'shuk if her husband died. And when she comes back from Medinat Hayam, there's another case. Let's say she goes to Medinat Hayam with a chazaka that her husband is the only son of the mother-in-law, and therefore, if he would die, there's no yava. And she comes back from Medinat Hayam, and she says, Nitan li yavam Medinat Hayam. Actually, I ended up getting a yavam, and he had a brother that was born in Medinat Hayam. But she adds, made Bali, my husband died, and then the Yavam, the new Yavam died, so I'm basically back where I was. Or for that matter, she said, the Yavam died, and then my husband died. So I remain in the original chazaka that I had before. I should be muteris to get married to anybody that I want. She is indeed nemenes. Because over here, once again, had she kept quiet, nothing would have changed. We wouldn't have known anything. So we say, Apesha Asar, who Apesha Yitir? Because she is the one who told us that there ever was a Yavam, and now she's telling us that it was irrelevant there was a Yavam because he died. But suppose Al Chayu Bala Vivama, suppose she goes together, she, her husband, and her Yavama go, Lumidinat Hayam. So now she's Becheskas Iser Lashuk. She's Becheskas requiring Zikuka to Yavam if her husband would die, because she has a Yavam, no child. When she comes back, she says, my husband died, made Bali, but then my Yavam also died. Or she says, my Yavam died, and then my husband died. So she's coming out to be mata herself, not to require the yibum enan emes. In this case, she's not believed because she was becheskas requiring yibum and being asur to get married. And for this, the chachamim didn't believe her. She'in ha'isha nemenet lomar made yivami shetinasei. A woman was never given an emanut to say my yavam died so that she could get married to whomever she wants. The law, furthermore, she was not given an emanut to say meitachuta that her sister died, in order for her to be able to marry the previous husband of her sister, to whom she's muteret after the death of her sister. Nonetheless, we never gave a ne'emanut to a woman, because she remains usher with the chazaka that she had before. This special case of ne'emanut, where we believe her, is only in the case where she says, made by Ali, so that we get rid of the cheskas eishas ish, and make sure she doesn't become an aguna. Ve'ina ish ne'eman omar meitachi. And furthermore, a man is not believed to say, my brother died, so that he should be allowed to be Meyabim, the wife of his brother. And furthermore, Velo is also not believed to say Meta Ishtot, so that he would be allowed to marry Shisa Achota, that he should be allowed to marry the sister of his wife. Now, the Gemara says, remember, that you cannot be kona something for somebody else unless he made you a shliach. Or that there's a presumptive type of shlichut, which is called zochin ladam shol b'fanav. If we're sure that it's good for him, then you can act as a shliach. But if there's any type of loss, you can't do anything for the other guy. So we say zochin ladam shol b'fanav, ve'in chavim ladam shol b'fanav. You can't do something detrimental to a person unless he made you a shliach. So therefore, you cannot be zocha in a get for a woman from her husband unless the woman appoints you as a shliach kabbalah, to be mekabalit for her, because it's not generally viewed as a something beneficial to her to have a get. So now the Gemara has some questions about situations that might be considered to be a schut or a chovah. Somebody gives a get to his wife through another person, and he says to this other person to be mekabel the get for her, bimkom yavam, in a place where he has a brother, and therefore if he dies, she would be zekuka liyavam. Mahu, is that considered to be a schut for her so that she will not require yavam if yibam if something happens to her husband? And normally, kibun desanyale, normally she doesn't want to get married to her yavam, so it's a schut for her. And therefore, even though she didn't make the person a shliach, he can nonetheless be mezaken a get for her, even though he wasn't an official shliach because of the din of zochin shalom b'fanav. Or should we say, there are times that she's in love with her brother-in-law, maybe it's a chovula. Maybe she'll look at this as being a terrible thing. Because if her husband dies, she'd be able to marry her lover. And therefore we should not accept the shlichut of this person, because how do we know that she would want him to be a shliach? Well, my leiser, Nachman, said to Rava, I've got a raya from our Mishnah. Tanina, it says over here, so in other words, in both cases, in the Reisha and the Seifa, in the Reisha, where when she left, there was a son, and she was in a chazaka to be mutar peshuk, and she said that my son died, and then my husband died, and therefore I am mutar to the yavam. So the Mishnah says that even though she's not ne'amenes to be mutar herself to the yavam, we still have to worry that what she's saying is true, and she's not allowed to get married without chalitza. And we certainly don't come to the conclusion that she's definitely lying in order to get married to the yavam, and that because of that we shouldn't even worry about it. She should be muteres reshuk without chalitza. That we don't say. So you see from there that it's not definite that she would want the yavam. Okay, on the other hand, we can also prove from the Seifa that we don't say that she definitely hates the Yavam, because in the Sefer it says that where there was a Chazaka, that she does not have a Ben, and she does require the Yibam. And she says, I had a Ben, my husband died, but then the Ben died, and I'm allowed to get married, and because of the fact that at the time that my husband died, I had a child, she's also not believed. But nonetheless, the Mishnah says that even though she's not believed to be Matur L'shuk, nonetheless, we asser her, and we don't say she's vadai lying, and that's because she hates the yavam, and she should actually muteres to the yavam, just like her previous chazaka. Instead, we say she can only get chalitza. You see from here that it's possible that she doesn't hate the yavam, and we have to worry that maybe she's telling the truth. So therefore, since it's clear from the Mishnah that sometimes she loves him and sometimes she hates him, if the husband be mezaka, this woman a get, in such a way that now she won't be have the yavam, we now know it's a suffix. Whether it's a schus for her, maybe she'd love to not be able to be able not to fall to yibam, or maybe she's been dreaming and fantasizing about this yavam all the time. And therefore, she wishes yes to be a zikuka of yavam, and we can't say that this is considered to be a zachin adam shalom b'fanav. That's a way to know. Okay, so we have a suffix over here, and she would require, therefore, chalitza. Maybe she's not Megureshes, and maybe she is Megureshes. There's no way for us to do yibam. Another case, in which it's considered to be a suffix to us, whether it's a schus, is Amar Ravina Lamrava, Hamazaki get lishto b'mokom k'totamau. How about if a marriage has been on the rocks, everybody knows that look, they hate each other's guts, she would be dying to get a get. What would be the din if there was a constant argument between them? Do we say that since there's constant arguments, she's very happy to get the get? Or do we say, look, you know, even though it's a miserable marriage, there's still naicha de gufa atifla. She's at least, she likes to be able to have a husband to give her intimate attention, and she'll fight with him the rest of the time. Tashma, let's bring a raya from Rish Lakish's famous dictum, it's better to have two bodies together than to live alone. And this is generally the way that the woman views marriage. And therefore, since that is true, it's considered to be a chuvah to her to get again under these circumstances. Abaya says the way people put it is, Abaya Omer, Dishum Shemana Gavra, if she has a husband who's basically an ant, but Kursye Becharata Romula, she still is able to take her chair and sit among all the free women and be considered to be a person who has a life and has a husband, though he hasn't got much to show. Or if Papa puts it another way, the Natsa Gavra, even a woman who's got the lowest class husband who works in a very simple job of being Menapet Tzemer. And so he basically, he just works there to loosen up wool, and to, which is like very early on in agricultural work. Nonetheless, Tikri B'Sefi Bava V'Tesa, she is able to sit in front of her house on her rocking chair and show everybody that she's got a life. Ravashi puts it like this, the Kulsa Gavra, even when her husband is somebody that people talk about and there's some type of problem in his yichus, and everybody's talking about whether this is an Appalachian kind of family, nonetheless, lo bai to lo chila gedera, such a person is still able to say that at least she's got a husband, as worthless as he is, even if he can't provide for her simple lentils for her supper. So that in all events, we don't view it as a schus for a person. All she wants is to be able to claim that she's married. But, as the Bryce explains, Tana, Kulan, all of these cases, they're never going to sleep with their husbands. They're actually mizanot v'talot v'valehen. They fool around all over the place. If they get pregnant, they just claim that they got pregnant from their husbands. And in order to do that, they're willing, basically, to be married to the lowest of the low, just to be able to pretend to have a life. Hadron alacha isha shalom, willing that.